In the Bible, Jesus Christ, in the gospel, likened the church to many things. A lot of times when Christ started out with the kingdom of God is likened to, and other term and phrase like that, it is contemplating the church. Now, today's lesson that I want to share is the fact that the church is more, we were looking on what the church is and is not. Because even for those of us who are in the church, sometimes we have wrong concept of the church. And it is important that as we travel through this life unto eternity, that we have a proper Christ-like biblical God view of the church. Another problem or challenge we face is where we mixed up man-made religious institution with the church. And that is confusing. Where in so many instances men and women go out there and form a religious institution based on their likes, their whims, and fancy. Now, when you or I do not know what the Bible teaches, we see those man-made religious institutions as the church. And when a person comes saying, no, that's not it, you are confused, and rightly so. So it's important that we have a right view of the church. Now, in today's lesson, we look at the fact that the church of Christ, the true church, is not a resort for the healthy. It is more like an hospital for the sick. That's a fact. And throughout this lesson, we will look at passages which show that, among other things, Christians are men and women who have been admitted in Christ's hospital, getting treatment daily in their lives. And godly men and women are different. They have not come in to be admitted for treatment. And if you are there asking, well, Mr. Mitchell, When we go to hospital, then keep us only for a time and let us go. Now, that's a good question, or a good point. But in Jesus' hospital, once you come in for treatment, you stay. Well, Brother Mitchell, what is the goal? What is the objective? God's goal, Christ's goal, is to get us grow into forming the Christ-like character. So the church is not a resort for the healthy. It is more like an hospital for the sick. Let us run to Mark chapter 2 and verse 17 again. Let us hear it.
When Jesus heard it, he said unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
You know, he's using the business of a doctor, a physician, and who need the doctor? It's sick people. And Christians are men and women who acknowledge that they are sick spiritually. The Christian, as well as the non-Christians, need to understand what they are and what they are about and what the church is about. And when I talk about the church, I'm talking the true church of Christ that you can read about in the pages of the New Testament. There is a semblance. There is a likeness between a physician and Jesus Christ. That's one that we have in Mark chapter 2, verse 17, which has just been read, that there is a semblance or a likeness between a physician, a doctor, and Jesus Christ, between disease and sin. Yes, there is a semblance between disease and sin. As we see, read this one from Psalms chapter 41 and verse 4. You could just as well read Romans chapter 3, verse 13 through 16. But because I want to not come back to this lesson, we will skip some of those passages. Now, I have just pointed out that there is a semblance between Christ and a physician, that is a doctor, between disease and sin. Did I say Psalms 41 and verse 4? Let us hear it.
I said, Lord,
Lord,
be merciful unto me.
Be merciful unto me.
Heal my soul.
What, brother?
Heal my soul.
You see, when our soul needs healing, we need God's mercy.
That's right.
And until you come to Jesus Christ with your sin, you are in terrible need for God's mercy. Read, brother.
Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee.
You see, the reason the soul needs healing is the disease of sin. So I was pointing out, yes, that there is a semblance between Christ and the physician, between disease and sin, between the church and the hospital, and between the gospel and medicine. That's right. And both the Christian as well as the non-Christian need to be mindful of this. One of the essential and important difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. Wait, start again, Mr. Mitchell. Thank you for asking. One of the big difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is that the Christian acknowledges, are we all there? That spiritually he or she is sick. That's the Christian. The non-Christian, for the most part, does not come to this acknowledgement. I repeat, one of the big differences, we go about and 10 of us, we may work at the same place. There might be two at that workplace who are genuinely trying to follow God's will. They have submitted themselves to the gospel of Christ. They have obeyed the conditions set by Christ for the removal of their sin. Well, here are some men and women who work at the same place. All of them look like the same people. But they are not. They are not. The Christian man or woman is a person who acknowledges his or her spiritual sickness and have come to Jesus Christ for healing, for cure. For help. The Christian is a man or woman undergoing treatment. Are we all there? Wait. It's not good to be sick. No, it's not good. None of us like to be sick. But worse than that is when you're sick and don't know it. That's right. To be sick is bad. To be sick. And you know, some disease, some illness, they are very deceptive. You are going about your business and something is going wrong inside. In medical circle, they have a thing called executive. the executive. You can talk to Sister Bean and other medical person more about that. So when I went to my doctor some time ago, and he said, "Mr. Mitchell, I'm going to let you have an executive." So me, I wonder what that is. Is that total examination where they check out everything? It seems if after everything was checked out, I came back really an executive. But it's when, even when that they check you and everything is okay, they still want you to do that executive ever so often. Because the doctor, more than we do, recognize that a lot of time things are going wrong and we don't know it. What is the point, Brother Mitchell? That when we are sick and don't know it, that's very bad. And that is the problem with so many ungodly men and women. They do not realize how spiritually sick they are. That's terrible. Terrible. Part of our sickness, or what contributes to it, is our ignorance. When we are ignorant of God's will, that's contribute to that ignorance is part of what make us remain in sin. The carnal nature, we are interested in is things of this world. Wrong attitude or wrong outlook, we see things completely contrary to God's view. And when we feed the carnal nature, we encourage worldliness in our lives. As I've said, the unbeliever, unlike the believer, does not acknowledge, recognize his illness, how bad, how dangerous, and how unchristlike that illness is. The disease or the illness affect that the disease of sin affects every man and every woman. We must be mindful of that. This disease called sin, in fact, it's the worst disease there is. Because watch here. The physical illnesses and maladies and problems that we have, they come because of this disease. Wait, what I'm saying, every problem you have in life, every physical ailment that brings sickness, amputation, limitation, death, all of them come as a result of sin. May I spin it around? Had there been no sin, there would be no disease. As I said, this disease affects everyone. Look at Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Let us hear it. Romans 3, 23.
For all have sinned. Mm-hmm. And come short of the glory of God.
Did you all hear that? Sometime you are teaching, that's the experience of some of us, a man or woman, and you may refer to the person that, you know, sir or ma'am, as a sinner, etc. And the person says, I'm not a sinner, I'm a decent person. Decency doesn't have much to do with it. I can go to the Bible and show you some honorable, decent, kind men and women there that Jesus Christ himself let them know that they need forgiveness. They need to turn to Christ. That's right. So every man, you have just read what, verse 23? Let us hear from verse 9. Go on, brother. I was about to say 9 through 19. The same Romans chapter 3, but we will not be able to read all of these. Or let us hear from Romans chapter, same 3. You read verse 23. All have sinned. Not some, not most. Every man, every woman have offended the Almighty God. Have gone against his will. But listen, verse 9 following.
What then?
What then?
Are we better than they?
Watch it. You see the point? This great man of God, the apostle inspired, is asking the question, are we Jews better than they, the Gentile? You see, the Gentile were known or just considered that they were not God's people. They were sinners. They were ignorant. They were the fuel for the fire of hell. That's right. You find that in Jewish literature, that the Gentiles were made for hell. They were sinners. So Paul is showing the Jews that even though the Jews had an elevated morality, thou shalt not and whatever, that they, the Jews, were not spiritually better than the Gentiles. Are we better than they? Uh-huh.
No.
No.
In no wise.
You see? No. And in case you Jew are trying to find some ways in which you're better, Paul say, in no way are you better. It's talk about this disease which affects every one of us. Right as you stand here today, you are a sinner in need of forgiveness. Read on, brother.
For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin.
You hear? Now, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, that we have shown to you that all under sin, both Jews and Gentiles. I wish we have time to read to verse 19, but there's so much to be covered. Yes. So, everyone is affected by this disease. This disease, are we all there? It brings physical and it brings eternal death. What do you mean, Mr. Mitchell? I didn't know there were two deaths. Yes, the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us that there, in fact, I could even say more than two deaths, but let's deal with the two deaths. There is physical death, and there is spiritual or eternal death. There is a death that we experience in this life, where we cease to exist physically in this world anymore. And then there is the death when we are separated from God for all time and eternity. That is eternal death. That's the worst death. That's the worst death. That death comes after judgment, when you are cut off totally from the mercy, from the grace of God. That is the worst death. So both the physical death that brings you and me to a funeral and the spiritual death where we are separated from God for all time and eternity, both of those are brought about by sin. But sin affects not only or bring physical and eternal death. Sin is out to affect your peace, both here and hereafter. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Romans chapter 6, verse 23.
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life.
Everybody hear that? Watch here, this passage. Read it again, brother. For the wages of sin
is death.
That means eternal death. That's what that means. For the wages of sin is eternal death. And the gift of God is
eternal life.
Eternal life.
Through Christ Jesus.
You see, the salary, the compensation that sin brings is where you are cut off from the Almighty God in hell for all time and eternity. The compensation that comes from you accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior, having acknowledged your sinful state and that you need Christ, is that you get eternal life. So sin, it is a disease. Look at Philippians. Chapter 3, verse 6. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Philippians 3, verse 6. Timothy 1, 15. Let us hear it.
Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained
to me? Wait. What the man is showing here, you know, that you can still be a deeply religious person and still sick. That's what Paul is teaching here, you know. Watch him again in Philippians 3:6. Listening. Wait. That is when, before he became a Christian, before he accepted Jesus Christ. What I've dropped this by is to help you to understand that just taking up religion doesn't do the job. You must make sure that you take up the right religion. You must make sure you accept Jesus is true, not just any religious truth. Listen to him again. Did I say verse 6?
Concerning
zeal. No. Let me hear what 5 says again.
Circumcise the eighth day.
That's right. What he's doing here is telling you some religious, listing some religious things that he did. Wait. These were done by God's own command. But what he's showing, he's showing his reader, some of whom were Jews, that these religious acts left him same place. Verse 5.
Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel.
God had commanded that, reader.
Of the tribe of Benjamin. And Hebrew of the Hebrews.
That means he was a strict Jew.
As touching the law.
As touching the Ten Commandment law, that is.
A Pharisee.
A Pharisee.
Concerning zeal.
Concerning zeal.
Persecuting the church.
I was so zealous of God's business. May I send Christian to prison? Read.
Touching the righteousness which is in the law.
Wait. You all hear that? Don't move, brother. The righteousness which comes by living according to the law. What?
Blameless.
Blameless. Wait. You need to get this. Paul is saying, you couldn't use the Ten Commandment law and find fault with me. But tell me what. While all that was so, he was still the chief of sinners. So we have to be careful when we take up religion. We have to make sure we do it God's way. In fact, read on a little more, no, brother.
But what things were gained to me?
That is all these things that he named. How he excelled in the Jewish religion. How according to the law, he lived up to every expectation of the law. These were gained to him. But he said,
those I counted lost.
They are rubbish. Read that a little more now.
Yea.
Yea.
Doubtless.
And doubtless.
I count all things.
I count all things.
But loss.
But loss.
For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus.
You see, nothing can be comparable, can compare with the gospel of Christ. When he talks about the knowledge of Christ, he's talking about the gospel. He said all of that, what the law says, and I live by it. My parents live by it. I was a Pharisee. That means I was up there. He said all those I count, but in that same passage, he said he count them, but dung. That is refuse. Rubbish. When I compare them to God's grace in Jesus Christ, wait. It's like if I compare two medicine. One of them gives you a temporary ease. You see, each time you take it, it eases the pain a little. But then the doctor gives you one that you know have to come back. You know, that one really heal you. Well, with what Jesus Christ is doing for the Christian now, do you know there's a day coming when we won't have the desire to sin? Coming when we will not have any desire to sin. Jesus Christ is little by little getting us to that place now. Amen. So that by the time we are transformed into eternity, the wanting to sin will be completely gone. Ladies and gentlemen, the lesson, in fact, being saved, let me just point this out. Being saved, part of being saved is a one act thing, part of it. But the bigger part of being saved is an ongoing thing. It's not just a one-act thing. Look at Acts of the Apostles chapter 2, 38. Let us hear it.
Then Peter said unto them. Repent.
Repent.
And be baptized.
And be baptized.
Every one of you.
Mm-hmm.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
For the remission of sins.
Mm-hmm.
And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Okay, let me hear verse 47, I think, the last verse.
Praising God,
mm-hmm.
and having favor with all the people.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord added to the church daily,
mm-hmm.
such as should be saved.
So here, ladies and gentlemen, being saved is not just a one-act thing. Here the passage just read tells us that these Christians, having just been baptized, they were praising God and they were having favor with all the people. But then it tells us something that God did, or rather, would be doing for them. Because, read it again.
Praising God.
Uh-huh.
And having favor with all the people.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord added to the church daily.
Uh-huh.
Such as should be saved.
That is, those who were, let me capitalize this. Those who were being saved. That's the exact meaning of that passage. In fact, you read some translation, it's not that their salvation, are they being cleansed, are they being children of God, was just a one acting. They get baptized and they were saved and they have to do nothing. No, that's not what the idea is, that the Almighty God would be working with them for the rest of their lives. As long as they live and give Christ the chance, that's why those who were being, that being mean it is ongoing. Are we there? It no stop. Did I say in the early part of the lesson that once you come in for admission in Christ's hospital, which is the church, you're not supposed to leave. You have some indisciplined people, you know, the doctor admit them to the hospital and treatment is going on. Every day the nurse come and they have their drip and the nurse give them a tablet and they take this and they take it. They don't realize that is the medication that's going to get them better. But you see, they feel a little better about the fourth day. They want to go home. And a lot of time, you know, they want to go home to get into the same thing that brought them in the hospital. You see. So the doctor wants to keep them there to get them better. But a lot of time, they discharge themselves. There are people who pack up them some and tell the doctor, "Me want to come out." No, many people do that. People backslide. Uh-huh. They discharge themselves from Christ. You're not supposed to do that. Ladies and gentlemen, get this now. Everything regarding you or I being saved, I mean everything regarding you or I being saved from eternal hell, everything regarding you are I being cleansed, everything regarding us being holy, everything regarding us being spiritually whole, everything regarding us being children of God, everything regarding us forming the Christ-like nature, everything regarding us being in fellowship with God, everything that I've just listed, they have to be done in the church. Everything I've just listed, save from the eternal hell, cleanse from sin, forming the Christ-like nature, in fellowship with God, all of that God is doing in the church. Nowhere else. You cannot be in fellowship with God outside of the fellowship of the church. The continuous cleansing that we need. The Bible says, if you walk in the light, that is being done only in the church. Nowhere else. Wait, let me just drop this. That's the sphere. That's the place that God has limited himself to work in. That's why it was purchased with the blood of Christ. I mean everything regarding our eternal welfare. The Almighty God fixed it that he's going to restrict himself to working in the church for that. Oh, people come up with all type of foolishness. I'm as holy as you. Go to church every day, and me no go as often as you, but I'm as holy as you. Who a fool you? Truly, somebody's fooling you. Because all the disease that comes, the spiritual sickness that we have, that we're going to get rid of through God's help, it has to be gotten rid of in the church. That's the way God fixes it. Nowhere else. In the list of things that I speak about the Christ-like nature. You can never grow into the Christ-like nature outside of the church. Turn to the book. The book of Galatians, chapter 4 and verse 19, I think. Let us hear it.
My little children.
Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19.
My little children.
My little children.
Of whom I travail.
Of whom I travail is using the comparison here like a woman giving birth.
Of whom I travail in birth. Again, until Christ be formed in you.
Until what?
Until Christ be formed in you.
As you know, it's a passage I brought to your attention many times, but I'm always struck with the fact that you have a right to ask a question, but I thought when I got baptized and my sins were washed away through Christ's blood, Christ was forming me then. You're partially right. But you're partially wrong. You see, Christ began to be forming you then. Yes. Began. Here Paul is dealing with people who have been Christians, some of them for umpteen years. And Paul is saying he is going to continue working with them until Christ be forming them. That is, as long as he continue to work with them. Teaching them the gospel, they accept it, live by it, grow more Christ-like. That's how day by day they become more Christ-like. And if they live to be 1,000 years old, they would still be growing into a Christ-like nature. But you know where that is done? In the church. Not outside the church. Yeah, wait. You have heard about the lesson of the publican and the Pharisees. I know Christians have many times, but if you are not a child of God, you know, there were two people. Let us hear a little of it, brother. Time going. Luke chapter 18, and I think from verse 9 following. Luke chapter 18, verse 9 following.
And he spake this parable.
I want you to listen. And that is Jesus Christ spake this parable.
And he spake this parable unto certain which trust in themselves that they were righteous and despised others.
Wait, you have to be careful. Oh, you think others are sick with disease and you are healthy. We have to be careful of that. Wait. You may say, but Mr. Mitchell, what the Pharisees and the publican have to do with it? That's the exact thing here. Watch here. You are dealing with two sick people here. Both of them were sick. You know the terrible situation? One felt he was the personification of health, that he was the healthiest person in the world. Read on, brother.
Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican.
The publican, everybody know them, especially in the Jewish circle, because you see, the publican were the tax collector representing Rome. And the Jews didn't think they should pay taxes to Rome. So they saw the publican who collect taxes from them, and some of the publicans were really dishonest. They saw them as the chief of sinners. So Jesus Christ brought the two extremes, the religious Pharisees and the ungodly publican. And the point that Christ is showing here is the very point that I'm hoping the lesson is bringing out, that we have to be careful how the fact that we are sick and feel that we are the healthiest person around spiritually. But what we are presenting to you in this passage, in Luke 9 here, is the fact that these two people are two sick people. Read.
The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes.
You notice what he's reminding God, in case God forgot. He's reminding God of all his religious attributes. Read on.
I fast twice in the week. I give tithes. Of all that I possess.
Notice here too, he wasn't lying, you know. He wasn't exaggerating. He was telling the truth. But listen, read on.
And the publican, standing afar off.
That's the other man. The known sinner.
Standing afar off. Would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven.
That is, he was so conscious of his own unholiness that he didn't even feel that he should look up to God. Read.
Would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Read.
I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other.
The word just and the word, the original word just as used in the Bible and the word righteous are taken from the very same Greek word. And what it is saying that the publican, because what you have here is two sick people. But one of them saw and acknowledged his sickness while the other one didn't. The one who acknowledged his sickness, that is the publican, is the one who went to his home and stand more righteous than the one who was impressing God with his holiness. Why? Because sin must always be acknowledged. When we go to God, and as I've said many times, that even men and women who may step forward to rededicate their lives, but they are just doing it to satisfy the church. Within themselves, they don't believe they have done anything wrong. Just as well, they didn't come forward. Because sin must first acknowledge to self before it is acknowledged to God. Always. It don't need you go to God confessing that, Lord, I have sinned. When the Almighty God knows you really don't believe that. You feel you are holy, you are sinless and whatever. The publican acknowledged that he was sinful. You know, I have to close this lesson time. May I? Any disease, as I wrap up, the sooner it is recognized and treatment begin, is the better and wiser we are. Any disease. Sin no less. Let me wrap up. May I? The disease called sin. Be mindful of this as we close this lesson. That when a man or woman come forward to be baptized, that is that man, that woman recognize that the life he or she is living is contrary to the word of God, contrary to God's will, God's nature, and God's plan for his or her life, and the person now want to change his or her life and conduct and put it where it conform to God's will. When that person decide to become a Christian and get baptized, watch here. Baptism represents treatment for all past sin up to that point. That's right. When a sinner repent, confess faith in Christ, and get baptized, that man or woman is coming for Jesus Christ to deal with his or her past sin up to that point. Now, Christ asks that that man or woman live an active, faithful life for the rest of his or her life. Watch here. Living an active, faithful life as a Christian is the way that God has for you not to be dominated by sin, not to be infected by sin again. It doesn't mean you won't sin again, but it means you will not come under the slavery of sin. You know, like when you read John, in one part, it tells you that if we say we have no sin, we make God a liar. And the other part is telling you that he that know God sinneth not. And it may sound as if the Bible is contradicting itself. One of them, the one I talk about sinneth not, is talk about practicing of sin. It doesn't mean you become sinless. It simply means sin does not control your life. You do not, when a man or a woman is not a Christian, You live for yourself. You do what you like, what you want. You, about whether it is sinful or not, that's not your concern. When you become a Christian, that changes. When you do anything, one of your main concern, does it offend God or not? That's one of the benefit of remaining a faithful Christian. That's what the Bible means that when it talks about walking in the light. What is the light? The word of God, the gospel. So when men and women backslide, they are placing themselves in danger that a lot of times they themselves don't even recognize. Because a lot of times we can let sin become or get so tighter hold on us. I have seen many backsliders who have difficulty, problem getting back to Christ. Because Satan and sin just tie them up. And once I hide from school. Of all my elementary school days, I think I hide from school twice. Remember, I have to walk 3 miles to school, 3 miles to and 3 miles from. And because we're late for school, there were a few bigger boys. You know, they decided that teacher is going to give you so much licking at your hand that we hide. But one of the mischievous things that they did, a few of them, it was a joke, but I find it seriously. The bigger boy tie up my hand and my feet. And for well over an hour or two, I could move. Well, a lot of time, men backslide and Satan and sin tie them up. That's right. They want to come back, but sin got such hold on them out there that they can't see their way. And that is why the Bible teaches that it is impossible to renew them again, unto righteousness. Never think that the passage is teaching that it is impossible for God to forgive them. That's not what it is teaching. It's not impossible for God to forgive. That's not what the passage, it's teaching that they have gone so far in sin, or they have gotten themselves so tied up with Satan and sin, that they cannot see their way back. This is why we are encouraged not to leave the church, not to give up on Christ. Always keep trying. Always keep trying. The church is Christ's hospital, where Christ is working to get us become more Christ-like every day. Today, if you are here and if you are not a child of God, if you are not a Christian, if you have never become a Christian the Bible's way, Jesus Christ gives you now. And if you are a child of God who have backslidden, it's terrible danger out there when you place yourself back in Satan's compound. There are all sorts of danger that sometimes you or we do not recognize until we are too deep in it. But Jesus Christ is available right now. You can re-enlisted at Christ's hospital. Come in for treatment and stay in for treatment. Jesus Christ will work with you as we stand.